Second down and 8. Williams, Moore, end zone. He's got it. Touchdown.
That was a beautiful ball. That was a beautiful design. This is Mike Jackson lined up one-on-one with no help on Moore. And look where Caleb puts the football. He puts it out and in front for DJ Moore to go and get it. Only DJ Moore can go and get it. That was good coverage by Mike Jackson. That was a better throw and catch by Caleb Williams and DJ Moore for another Bears touchdown.
That extends even more, no pun intended, due to the opponent. Moore traded from the Panthers to the Bears. They also acquired draft picks in that deal, and they used one of them for Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Is this Two Door Cinema Club? Then this is?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Dan, hearing their announcers reminded me of when they weren't quite sure who won the trade.
Thank you for bringing that up.
I forgot about that.
Thank you for bringing that up. We were just hearing from Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma, who's getting really good, I think, at his job. That was on Fox. No. Why were they pussyfooting around who won the trade?
I think because in their minds, Caleb Williams is not a finished product, and neither is Bryce Young.
It's right in front. Look at that. Look at the trade. How could you possibly draw any conclusion other than the Bears won it?
Because what if Caleb Williams is a bust and Bryce Young is a Hall of Fame quarterback?
All right, fine.
I couldn't get that. But, I tried.
But no one's betting on that. But just evaluate it honestly and objectively for
say,
what it
to
is
this point,
right now.
You could just say, to this point, it looks like the Bears may have gotten the better of that deal.
I think that was an easy way to say it.
But they kind of tiptoed
anybody
around it in an uncomfortable way.
Why?
I don't know.
Time will tell who wins this trade. No, I'm pretty good on it. I'm good.
I mean, ultimately, time will tell, but as of right now, they could have given that caveat, but still said, as of right now, the Bears clearly in the driver's seat.
And I'm watching
as they continue driving assets out of town.
Yeah. The guy systematically dismantled them and took all their assets. And now they're going to have a really high second round pick
this petty
year.
Because he petty.
Yes.
You call him Ryan Poles. I call him Ryan Petty.
Hey, he said that it always stung that he didn't get that job. And now what is he going to do? He's going to come in with a tweezer, and he's just going to pull away assets and take them and put them over
and
here.
And that 2025 second round is looking like it's going to be high.
It's the pick you want, because then you get the first round value without the first round commitment, and that everyone loves those picks. Meanwhile, we've been watching Caleb Williams develop, that throw being a key marking point for, a real quarterback.
Down the field.
Reads the field, reads the play, and is able to decipher what's happening, diagnoses, throws it, perfect. Everything perfect.
And depending on who you ask.
Well, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner of NFL Network has been slow to come around on Caleb's development. He is a regular contributor to The Score on the Spiegel and Holmes show, and it sounds like finally he's grudgingly willing to say that Caleb's getting better.
The biggest thing for me with Caleb is, A, they're winning football games, where as he's growing and learning, they're finding ways to win football games. That's the most important thing. And then to see small bits of progress. And so, you know, a couple weeks ago, again, it's easy to fall in love with a good throw. It's easy to fall in love with the stats. But what I always want to see is his eyes in the right spot. We've been talking about it here for 5 weeks. And that to me is what tells me more than anything. You know, even if you complete the pass, whatever, do your eyes go to the right spot? Or are you working through things? So I can watch quarterbacks play on film. And when I see their eyes go right, left, I know they have no idea what they're looking at. That just means we're trying to find somebody open. So my head's moving all over the place. When your head is slow and methodical, when it starts to the right and you see the progression, and then it goes to the left and you're calm and poised, those are the things that I want to see. So I'm not looking for luck. I'm not looking for you dropping back and, hey, my first guy's open, I can throw it to that guy. Well, everybody in the NFL should be able to do that. I'm not looking for luck where, hey, just so happened I put my eyes here and the guy was open, so I threw it, even though my eyes should have been somewhere else. What I'm looking for is the understanding of what I'm seeing on the defensive side and my eyes being in the right spot. And then when something's not open, being able to get my eyes to the right spot in my second part of my read and my third part of the read. And And that's where I saw some real growth yesterday, is I really felt like two or three times he was quick to see and then pop his feet and pop his eyes somewhere else. And that's what starts to get me excited, is that he knows what he's looking for to start things. And then he knows exactly where he's going from there, so he can get his eyes there and figure out what's going on beyond that, and then be able to make the plays from a secondary nature. And so, yes, I mean, I think it's all starting to connect a little bit. Where he was week one, where he looked uncomfortable, he couldn't get through his progressions, you know, he got stuck on number one. We've seen gradual improvement week in, week out. And then you're starting to see the talent and the throwing ability to come with it. You know, some of the other things that we saw in like weeks three and four was, even when he got to the right place, the ball didn't come out like I saw it come out in college. You know, he's a very gifted thrower of the football and has great touch on the ball. And he's not a guy that normally overthrows the ball. And by that, I mean not throwing it too far, but throwing it too hard and, you know, being late on things and not having touch and throwing a catchable ball. And we saw that a number of times early. And you're starting to see, you know, the touchdown pass to DJ 2 weeks ago, on that little stick pump route up and over the linebacker. And then some of the throws in this game where he's laying it out there and allowing his receivers to run under it. That's the Caleb Williams that I saw in college and showed me the ability to make different kinds of throws. And you're starting to see that. And a big part of it, I think, is because he's more and more comfortable with what he's doing, where he's going, and the process is slowing down for him.
Okay, is that so hard?
No, he was waiting to see what he needed to see, and clearly he states there, I've seen what I need to see in terms of progression from week one to week two. And I thought he did a good job of laying out what it was he was seeing to start the season and what he is now seeing and why it is progress. I'm okay with Kurt Warner's very reasonable take on Caleb Williams.
I also think protection can be a remarkable difference maker.
Of course.
When it comes in one's ability to get to the top of your drop, to survey the field, to be able to read everything and figure out where you want to throw when somebody isn't breathing down your neck. And he had given a little bit of time, you know, I guess maybe I thought he's been a little too harsh, and maybe I'm in town stupid, or maybe I just like Caleb Williams and I'm at fault for that. I'm not quite studs for that. I'm not as, you know, like the Bears' personal protector.
I don't think I've ever heard you use in town stupid, but I like that.
Yeah, it's just, sometimes it happens. And I love the fact that the one thing we do at The Score is we bring you all different national opinions and local opinions and allow you to kind of sort through them, weigh them, and weight them and formulate your own.
I love the way Caleb Williams has played all season long because I understood this was going to be a process. I had a more measured take on it. And when things went poorly in game one, but they still won the game, I was like, hey, they won the game. Caleb's going to take his lumps. Game two, I was like, okay, now this seems like it's more on Shane Waldron, and do we know what they're trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then game three, okay, things need to be figured out quickly. Four, better. And game manager Caleb, and don't turn the ball over Caleb. Game five, okay, this is the quarterback that a lot of people expected to see. Not necessarily out of the gate, but when he's playing well.
And even that's an accelerated timeline for a rookie quarterback.
Well, the Carolina Panthers helped accelerate
things. Sure, and that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But I'm just keeping everything in perspective when we talk about that. Now, here's the great part. Game six, there will be people whispering sweet, or at least trying to whisper sweet nothings in his ear with that rush. And I want to see how they adjust now that the pressure is going to be back on with a higher caliber of NFL defense. And I'm really as excited to see this. I think every week I've been more excited about the next game than I was the last.
I think it's fair.
And it's going to continue as long as they continue to improve.
And we get to get up early and get all our work
and get
done
it done
and out of the way.
I'm so good with that.
And if the weather's supposed to be nice, maybe this will be the pumpkin patch day. Do you make a Midwestern fall trip out to like Didier Farms or Bankston's Watch the pumpkin chunking, the giant cannon that shoots the pumpkins in you know, 100 yards of the water.
The only way you're getting me out there is if I have a girlfriend and or young children with me. That's the only way you're getting
You wouldn't
me
do
out
it
there.
On your own and have a little bit of cider and cinnamon donuts?
Do I seem like the kind of person that would be out there?
I don't make any judgments based on
I'm here making declarations.
Okay.
Pumpkin whatever is cool. Two things you need to know about me. I hate pumpkins, and I really hate pumpkin pie.
Oh, man.
So.
Why?
Because it's.
That's a bad take.
It's disgusting. It's delicious. It's like, how much sugar can we add to this pumpkin to make it taste good?
Do you like sweet potato pie?
Of course.
But they're almost identical.
I like sweet potatoes, though.
But they're almost identical, you're right.
I like sweet potatoes.
Sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie.
Nah, they're not.
They're spiced similarly.
But hold up.
I do not like sweet potatoes.
I like sweet potatoes. Pie. I do not like pumpkin. Do you like pumpkin straight up?
Well, the pumpkin that's in the canned pumpkin isn't actually pumpkin. It's actually a squash called a Dickinson pumpkin.
Okay. But do you like pumpkin? Do you answer my question?
It's fine. I don't know how else.
I'm a sweet potato pie or a pecan pie guy.
Yeah, pecan pie all day.
So that's where my allegiances lie in the pie game.
Now, in a real test let's play How Southern Are You? If you take the actual pecans out of pecan pie and have nothing but that, like, that vanilla molasses sugar filler, shoe fly pie.
I'm not really with it. I love the pecan. My grandmother had a pecan tree in her front yard. She'd be like, do you want a pecan pie? Go shell some pecans. And I'd go shell the pecans, and she would make me a pecan pie. That's how I grew up. It's a very... part nostalgic, part this is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother knew what she was doing when she made the pecan pie. So you take all those factors in. I love this 847 on the text line. Commie. See how they're coming at my neck?
Well, look, I make great sweet potatoes, and I don't like them. I don't like
them. So how do you know they're great if you don't like them?
Because everybody adores them, and I haven't made them in a while. And the reason I like making them is because I adapted a recipe. It is it's a brown butter bourbon sauce glaze.
That sounds good. Sounds good.
And it's a process because you got to sort of steam them or parboil them first before you bake them in this gooey glaze. But I buy a bottle of Evan Williams bourbon.
Okay.
And I feel it's my responsibility throughout the cooking process to constantly be checking the quality of the bourbon.
That's fair.
Because you never know. It's possible that throughout the cooking process, maybe the quality of the bourbon has slipped. And maybe you get to a certain point like, well, it just needs to be rechecked. And I like double or triple the amount of bourbon that is in the sweet potatoes.
How often are you checking? How many ounces of bourbon are you checking?
Well, it depends. It depends on the score and situation. It's situational football at this point. We have to remain aware and alert. And, yeah, so I guess I end up, like, even though I don't like sweet potatoes, I usually end up in
a
good place.
So, wait, you bake sweet potato pies. Do you bake pumpkin pies as well?
I do, yeah, every year.
And which one's better?
The pumpkin pie. We would do, if the actual recipe on the back of the Libby's can, it's like a can of condensed milk, one can of the thing, and then we would add a little bit extra... like fresh ground nutmeg and clove and some of that stuff. Yeah.
I don't like this pumpkin spice lattes. Any of the pumpkin stuff.
708 says Libby's pumpkin pie filling is real pumpkin. No, it's not. Canned pumpkin. It's technically can be called pumpkin, but it is a look up what is in canned pumpkin. It's called Dickinson pumpkin. It's not the big orange pumpkin that you make a jack-o'-lantern out of.
But you're saying it's a type of squash, which also pumpkin is from the squash family anyway. So
yes, but if you actually see what is in that can, it doesn't look like your jack-o'-lantern. Sorry to ruin it for you. But yeah, that's the case. But the one thing we always did as a family is when I was a little kid, too, when we made the jack-o'-lantern, we would bake the pumpkin seeds. We would pull out all the seeds, put them on a cookie sheet, season them up, and bake them. No on that, too?
Just not pumpkin. I'm anti-pumpkin.
Okay.
It's fine. I'm glad that everyone else loves pumpkin. I'm not going to yuck your yum. Everybody do what you need to do. I'm just telling you where I stand on in the pie game. And that's fine that everybody seemingly disagrees with me based on this.
The 217 is confused. Dan can't believe Marshall doesn't like pumpkin pie because it's very similar to sweet potato pie, but then he says he likes pumpkin pie, but not sweet potato pie. Correct. You've got it absolutely figured out. You have solved it.
I'm with you on that, Dan. I am not a sweet potato person or a sweet potato pie person, but I will take some pumpkin pie anytime. I'm a fan.
Just different taste buds. Just different taste buds.
I just want to hang out with Dan while he gets loaded cooking these sweet potatoes.
Listen.
That's what I like. I love that.
That's why I asked specifically how many ounces of, you know,
I buy a fifth of bourbon, are we talking about? I've tried every different bourbon, and Evan Williams is the best for the recipe. For whatever reason.
Okay.
So that was...
Highly underrated bourbon.
I agree. Evan Williams is really good.
Go get it, baby.
That's what Dan sounds like at the end when he's tasting the pumpkin pie fresh out of the oven.
815 says, I prefer Bruce Dickinson pumpkins. Is that the lead singer of Iron Maiden? I think that's the Iron Maiden lead singer who's also a licensed commercial airline pilot.
I do not know this story.
Oh, have you ever seen Iron? Look up Iron Maiden's plane. Look up Iron Maiden has their own plane. The lead singer is the pilot. I think it was like a 747 for a while. He is a licensed pilot.
Yeah, Bruce Dickinson. I see the photo of him out front, right?
Yeah,
in front of the plane.
So I'm always thinking like you're the lead singer of Iron Maiden, right? And you're rocking and rolling and you're. And it's like, all right, let's get on the plane.
It's a 747?
Yeah, it's like, let me see.
Yeah, it's a 747.
Yeah. So think about it, like the concert's over. It's like, no, we're going to Australia. And you're supposed to be in the back, like doing lines of coke off some hooker's chest.
Oh, my goodness.
And instead you're filing a flight plan and like going through all these checks. You're like, oh, God, he's got to fly the plane.
He's not partaking in the normal... band activities is what we'll call them.
That's what I'm saying. Like they're all back there.
Remind me to bring this up.
Rock stars.
When Spiegel joins us, remind me to bring that up because I want his specific thoughts. Anything band related that's that cross genre. I'll have to remember
that. And you can ask him how he lost a snake.
Also, 815 on the text line. He may have summed up this entire conversation the best with the asterisk two Americas because we live in two Americas.
I know. I mean, I don't even
the cultural difference may have come. Into play.
I don't think if I heard an Iron Maiden song, I would know that it's an Iron Maiden song. I just knew. I thought.
Oh, you just knew the story about the plane.
Yeah, I just knew that.
I was talking about the pumpkin versus.
The pumpkin versus
pecan pie or sweet potato pie. Either way.
I would say pecan one. Is it pecan or I would say pecan.
I say pecan.
Pecan one, pumpkin two, sweet potato
20
unranked. not even others
not even receiving votes.
Peach. Cherry, apple, but only my mom's peach pie. All other peach pie sucks.
You're one of those, huh?
Because other ones are too sweet. She knows exactly where the ripeness of the peach, where it's still a little bit of tartness to it. It's not fully tart, but it's not one of these overly cloying sweet pies. So only my mom's peach pie, and especially cold.
I love
it cold.
Apple pie. Cherry pie. I'm not good with the warm fruit, so that throws me off a little bit. So those are well below. It's pecan pie one, it's sweet potato pie two, and then everything else is just kind of like at the bottom. I'll do it if it's offered to me, but you know I'm more health conscious than I used to be, so I just don't waste calories on things I don't absolutely
on
love.
Thanksgiving, nothing counts. Nothing counts on Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Nobody cares. None of those calories count.
And I wake up with a flare up. You're gonna be like,
none of it counts.
Okay, all right. That's Dan's story. That's what we're sticking to.
And you get a little allopurinol, and you're good.
Or the rest of that Evan Williams.
Evan Williams. That does not count. Yes.
What was the Onion headline one time? It just said American Medical Association research says. Consumption of a bottle of bourbon decreases awareness of heart attacks.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah, yes.
I guess it matters if that's the last heart attack you're having.
Right.
If it's game over.
If you're just decreasing the awareness of it, I think you're winning.
This is it. Aspirin taken daily with a bottle of bourbon reduces awareness of heart attacks.
<That's it. laughs>
The Onion.
Thank you.
Go get it, baby.
Everybody's quick today. I like it.